Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 27th of July, recording at 8:38 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the review. For stock markets, it's still a case of liquidity rules. Government bonds, under a little pressure due to the strength of stock markets. That's not surprising. Money coming out of bonds is helping to fuel the stock market rally. Currencies. This was interesting today. Dollar started the day in fine fettle, pushed above that 90 level again on the US dollar index, but couldn't hold it and slipped back. In line with that, precious metals reversed some modest declines and moved to modest gains on the day. Copper, still strong among the industrial metals, and those are really the highlights. Okay, let's go back to the stock market cycle. Now, first, the uptrends are very, very consistent, and that's a good sign. What that doesn't do, though, is, well, it just shows that we've got momentum going here. That's why it's a good sign. What it doesn't do is tell us how long this is going to go for, or how long these markets are going to run for. Now, fortunately for the bulls, we're not getting what I would really describe as an accelerated rate of advance. Yes, the gains are strong, but they've really been strong since really that second half of April. And they've been persistent, and when they've paused, they haven't shown much in the way of downward dynamics. And that remains the case today. So maybe the pace has picked up a little bit in some instances, but not all that much. So that's a long way of saying we're not seeing the really climactic upward acceleration that we that is often the ending for some of the better trends. And it also happens to be one of the easier endings to deal with, because when uptrends really do become parabolic, then they are definitely in injury time, to use the sporting parlance. Now, unfortunately, though, the fact that they are consistent today does not mean that an overextended trend, and I described some of these as looking a little bit like an Indian rope trick, and the air is getting a bit rarefied up here. So we've had big, strong gains for a number of indices since the second half of April, and this type of move is unsustainable. It could last, it's going to take an event to check this move, and that could be any number of factors. Could be a spike in oil, although oil is pretty quiet at the moment, albeit quietly firm. It could be an international event. It could be a worrying statement from Greenspan, although I kind of doubt that. It could just be gravity. But I really don't feel that these moves are sustainable beyond, they could end tomorrow, although that would surprise me. For them to boil over in a few weeks, or at most, I really can't see these markets running at this rate, at any rate, for more than a few months. So, again, as I've said many times before, it's a case of make hay while the sun shines, although we haven't seen much sunshine in England in the last few days. It's on my mind as I get ready to go away on my cycling holiday. But back to the point. We see India, for instance, key leader, still moving up. Australia, very important one, lead indicator, still pushing higher. Breakouts are the order of the day. And one very interesting one, which I will come back to, is Japan. And I have said before that given this overall environment that we see for global stock markets, that does increase Japan's chances of breaking above that 12,000 psychological resistance barrier on the Nikkei. But then again, it must be pointed out that Japan is still a laggard in here, and laggards lag for a reason with Japan. I think that people are just a little bit a little bit wary because it's been a case of calling wolf too many times here, or calling bull too many times. I should say, to paraphrase that statement. Now, in terms of how to play it in here, this is not a time to be putting in new money, or if you do put in new money, it's very, very much a speculative play. This is not a time, I think, for pulling money off the table either. I would just run with it. And I'm quite confident that when these markets do start to get into trouble, that we should be able to see the technical signs quite early. And that could easily happen next month while I'm away. But the fact that I'm away will not make it any more difficult for Owen or yourselves to spot the changes. So for the markets that you're interested in, for the markets that are leading the cycle, keep an eye on that chart library. Okay, government bonds, not much to say here. Kind of a dull situation overall, but needless to say that the uptrends that we saw really from the March lows that carried up, and well, they really started to lose momentum late last month and throughout this month. The downward pr the pressure seems to be very much on the downside. But one of the reasons I think why stock markets have done so well recently is that government bond markets have been pretty firm, although they've given up some of those gains. This is hardly anything bordering on a significant rise in long-term interest rates. So that hasn't been a problem, and also oil has, while I say is firm, has not been running on the upside, causing that many alarmist forecasts to appear. So stock markets are able to cope with all that and find it and actually treat it as a relatively benign environment overall. And so we do have the prospect of further runs in equities, but only for the short term. Now, getting on to the US dollar, I've been saying for quite some time that I felt that we'd, well, in say a matter of weeks, that I thought that we'd probably seen a penultimate peak up here, given the failed break above the 90 level. But it is a level that's been tested here almost daily, and we do need to see a move back down below 88 to indicate that this is the peak rather than a penultimate peak in the rally. I'll stick with my long-term view that we've seen the best part of the dollar's move overall. However, I'll also repeat the point that we do have a favorable tailwind for the dollar in the form of rising interest rates. But if these stock markets continue to move up and we continue to get improving consumer confidence in Europe, as we've been seeing recently, then the prospect of lower rates in the European economies could be pushed back, well, the date for lower rates could be pushed back a little bit further. And that could make the dollar's gains a little bit more difficult to sustain, particularly since just about everybody who is a long of the dollar has already discounted what are likely to be at least a couple of more quarter point rate increases. Now, a move in the dollar would have profound implications. If it were downward move in the dollar, well, upward move as well, but let's deal with the downward move possibility here first. If we were to get a weaker dollar in here, which I think we are going to see, if it's not over the short term, we will see at some stage during the second half of this year. If we are to see that, I think the most obvious beneficiary, as I've said before, would be precious metals. We could see them take off. Also, provided the dollar didn't come down too quickly, that would be a tailwind for the US stock market, although I wouldn't put too much store by that overall. But it would be a positive rather than a negative. Just as the soft euro has been a positive tailwind for the European stock markets in recent months, and ditto sterling for the UK stock markets. Now, some markets that have just pretty exciting fundamental prospects, such as the some of the top Asian markets, are able to go on moving up with reasonably firm currencies as well. Take India, for example. Elsewhere, price of crude oil, well, long-term uptrend, bullish pattern overall, but still in a consolidation phase. But we really should prepare ourselves for another upward move at some point here this year. Copper, the way that market's moving up, remember all those people who said the resources boom was over? Well, I don't buy the argument. Hedge funds stepped out. Maybe some of them are starting to come back in again. And there's still a number of backwardations in those industrial metals. So, again, secular bull markets, supply and elasticity themes. And that's pretty much it, except maybe to add that beans and grains are currently on the lower side of trading ranges and have seen some loss of downward momentum. Natural gas picking up once again. All the best. Oh, sorry, no, not finished. Ed Myrner, my God. I do want to mention that. Japan. I've got more to say about Japan. If you're not interested, then switch off, because I'll only cover Japan in this section. Now, I've talked on many occasions about that huge Type 3 extended base formation that we see on the Nikkei and Topix indices. You can see those on the weekly charts and the point and figure charts in the subscribers chart library. Second section index is leading upwards. The overall stock market environment still remains favorable. I've been describing the type of move I wanted to see in Japan as being the Nikkei moving above that 12,000 level, clearly breaking through it, holding the gains, and forming that first step above the base, and then breaking up out of that pattern. Once that happens, I really do feel that our medium to longer term prospects will be a 15,000 and then 20,000 as compared with today's level of 11,835. Now, how do we actually play it? Well, I know that when that's happened, as I've said before, I will go in for leveraged trades in the Nikkei stock average. But in my investment accounts, I'm certainly also going to want to have the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. I put those charts up today. Run by Ed Myrner, who's a contemporary. I have met him. This is a man who gives the impression that Japan and his fund really are the focal points of his life. And that's a good thing as far as investors are concerned. He's had a terrific performance. And he's done that, achieved that recently by concentrating, I believe, more on smaller companies, domestic issues, which are a bit of a specialty of his, but I don't doubt his ability to go on performing when Japan does well. Now, the Atlantis Japan Investment Trust is a dollar-denominated fund listed on the London Stock Exchange. The dollar, an appreciating dollar, creates a headwind for the fund's performance, but you'll gain in the currency overall. And my feeling is that we've seen the best part of the dollar's overall move, as you as you know. Now, I'm going to play that. As I say, I will pick it up again for my investment fund. I'm not going to do that before I go away, I don't think. But that will be one of my next purchases. It's just a matter of when. And when we get the Japanese stock market trending, and for this I really want quite clear evidence. I do want completion of that first step above the base. then I'm quite likely to leverage up with a speculative position in the Atlantis Japan growth fund, which I would do through UK spread bet facilities. And I also believe that the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund, AJGLN being the symbol, I believe that that is ISA eligible for UK investors. So that's pretty much it. I've let this audio go on a little bit too long, late in the day, a bit tired, so a little bit halting in the delivery. Apologies for that, and all the best.